Let me let you into my world today. So I go into a day like today where I know we have to do it. And I feel like, you know, such a poor use of church time. You know, I got to take this time. And I always have this unwritten rule. Those of you who know me and you tell me not to do this, but I do it anyway. Wednesday nights, I know I've got a 1 hour time period to work with. That's me. That's just where, and look, and let me just let you know where that comes from. Those of you who say to me, where'd you get this 1 hour thing for Wednesday nights? I'll tell you where I got it. I got it because I used to listen to jerky people like me, the way I used to be, who would get up and say something like, you let me worry about the time. As if the pastor or the preacher or the teacher's time was worth somehow more than your time was. And that always bugged me. It always bugged me to, you know, where somebody in authority, somebody in power thought that their time was worth more than the people that they were, that were forced to have to sit and listen. I just always thought that was rude, and I don't want to be that guy. And so I like from in you know, young parents, for example, we've had some young parents who've been bringing their kids on Wednesday nights, and I love that. But you know, I also know that those children need to know what time they're going to get out so they can get their kids home and get them ready for school the next day and all that. It's called respect. Right? It's called respect. It's called courtesy. And so I have this thing on Wednesday nights, I've got an hour to work with. On Sunday mornings, I feel like I've got an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes to work with. That's what I feel like I have. And so I get some, what are you laughing at, Tana? I usually keep it to that, okay? Usually. So like business meeting, it's like, man, you know, this is going to carve into that. And now I've got to cut something else out and But the truth is, it's not true that a business meeting is somehow not a good use of church time. I feel like that's not what church is supposed to be, but that's not true, because there's a scripture that I want to share with you this morning. I'm wrong about that when I think that way, because we actually have a passage of scripture that teaches that it's actually very, very important. In fact, it uses the word business, and it also then uses the word ministry. This passage talks about those two parts of church, both being very, very equally important. They're not only equally important, but the ministry part is so dependent upon the business part that we cannot have the ministry part. We cannot have the people part. We can't have that part that we think usually is more important without that. And that's what I want to share with you. So let me just kind of give it to you. Acts chapter 6 is where we find it. It's actually at the very early stages of the church. Shortly after Jesus went back to heaven, he left the church in the hands of the apostles, and here we begin to read. And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied. Now, time out. When it says disciples here, this is not talking about the 12 original disciples that Jesus called. They're now called apostles. Disciples, these are all the followers of Jesus. When the number of disciples was multiplied, you remember there were 3,000 of them added to the church at Pentecost. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Let me take a time out, let you know what this is really all about. So here's what was happening. In those early days of the church, they didn't have a building like this. The church consisted of new believers, and they basically met in people's homes. You know, Sherry got this crazy, wonderful news that Jesus had changed everything from a religious standpoint. She became a follower of Jesus, could not wait to tell Dwayne, couldn't wait to tell Josh, couldn't wait to tell Harold. Harold's a reprobate. He didn't believe it, but Sheila did. And so Sheila and Josh and Dwayne, they all started meeting at Sherry's house, and they started inviting their friends, and they started inviting their friends. And this happened all over the city, and they were meeting everywhere all over the city in all these different houses. And this was such a remarkable thing that what was happening is they were meeting every single day of the week because this was such a new concept. And they were coming, and so they were feeding them. They would gather and they would feed them a meal, and they would just talk over this meal. It wasn't like what we think of as church. It was just people gathering, having a meal together, and somebody who had a little bit of understanding about what Jesus really came for was sharing with everybody else and the new believers, and they were learning together, and that's what was happening. Now, most of the church at this time were Hebrews. They were Jews because that's who Jesus came to first. And so they were sort of getting more attention. They were getting more, and so there was a problem because some of the Gentiles or the Grecians, they weren't getting as much attention. Now, here we go, verse 2. And the 12 called the multitude of disciples, called the ones that were kind of the lay leaders, the ones who really kind of understood what was happening. And they said, it's not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and come and serve tables. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this, look at the last word, business. This business. Now, what does that, it just simply means the tangible, physical, logistical reality of trying to gather these people together, feed them, and have an opportunity then to share the truth with them. That's really what this was all about. This is what we would call this buildings and chairs and technology and all that kind of thing today. That's the business end of this thing that we're talking about. Now, notice the next verse though, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the what? Ministry of the word. So we see these two different parts of the church here. The business part of the church, that's that physical, tangible part, that part that has to be done in order to then be able to have a ministry of the word. To be able to have that part where the word of God is taught. The word of God is studied and learned by certain people so that they could then teach what is not understood, because most people would not have had the background. Remember, the 12 apostles had walked with Jesus for 3 years. It was their job. Think about what they had to do. They had to take all of the Hebrew training they had in the Torah, the Old Testament, and they had to process all of that and somehow make sense of that with the way that Jesus had then taught, and the things that he had taught them were a fulfillment of that. But they also then had to process the fact that the Jews had rejected Jesus, and so everything that Jesus had come for was going to be delayed for a while. And instead, there was going to be this thing called the church. Do you see the job the apostles had? And so what they were saying was they needed to be dealing with that. Now, here's where we begin. Here's where somebody like, you know, we begin. By the way, Tim's walking in the door. Tim, thank you for fixing our bus. Amen. You're the man. Now, this is on YouTube. We got to get back to this because this is being recorded. So here we go. Now, stay with me. Now, we, though, as people, we have a tendency to make assumptions, right? I talked about this last week. We have a tendency, we read scripture, we begin to make assumptions about things. And I think sometimes we begin to, you know, at least, this goes into my bias, and the reason that I hate the business part of this is because we tend to think, well, ministry is more important than business. You know, the ministry part is more important than the business part. It's more important to, the service itself is more important than the physical, tangible things or the things that have to go into making that. And why do we think that? Well, because we go back, for example, we go back to verse number 2. We go back to what the apostles made a comment. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That's kind of how we read it, right? Yeah. Right? We almost tend to read that like serving tables is somehow a lower thing to do than to do this. And we have this way of maybe say, you know, this, the ministry is so much more important than this kind of thing. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the apostles thought they were better than the other people? Yeah. And that's the polite thing to say, but it sounds like it, doesn't it? Come on. It kind of sounds like it, but you know, we know that's not true. Did Jesus ever broach this subject with them? Do you remember? Ever remember Jesus actually talked about this a lot with them, didn't he? Do you remember? Well, let's take Matthew 23, verse 11. Notice what Jesus made this pretty clear with them. He said, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your what?" It's what we talked about. That quote I gave you that Robert was talking to the men about. You know, where do you get your leaders? Well, your leaders come from your servants. Jesus said that. He was the original one. They stole it from Jesus. All right. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Remember at the Lord's Supper, what did Jesus do? Jesus said, hey, he put a towel around his waist. He got down on the ground and he washed their feet. The lowest thing you could possibly do. The lowest ranking servant in the house, whenever you went into somebody's house in those days, they were the ones who would wash the guests' feet. So Jesus made it a special point to get down on the ground and wash the apostles, the disciples' feet. And I mean, he was saying to you, this is how you show that you're a leader. So he was pretty thorough with his apostles. You know, he even talked to James and John's mother one time about that. And I don't know how many of you know this story. James and John's mother one time came to Jesus and said, hey, do you think maybe my two sons can sit on your right hand and your left hand? And he said, woman, with all due respect, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. He said, that's not even for me to give. So Jesus had thoroughly discussed this with them. These apostles did not think they were too good to serve tables. And by the way, anybody who thinks they're too good to serve tables or clean toilets or sweep floors or anything else, they don't need to be in any kind of leadership, because that's not what it's about. So that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is these apostles were saying, there is something that needs to be a higher priority for us. There is something that's more important that we need to be doing than that. It's not that we're too good to do that, but that's not what should be the top priority for us. And so they were trying, you know, in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 2. So let's go back to that, Acts chapter 6 and verse 2. They said, it's not reasonable. In other words, it doesn't make any sense for us to leave this, because we're trying to process all of this stuff that we learned from the Old Testament and all this stuff that Jesus taught us, and we're trying to get it all in some kind of coherent fashion so that we can present it to the church so that we can all learn together. Now, that being said then, so we have but we have a way of thinking that, you know, this is somehow more important. You know, that the teaching's more important, or the things that are seen. Let me just say it this way. We, even in the business world, there are two parts of every business type deal. Billy's a business owner. Carl, you're a business owner. You business owners, you all understand this. There's an operations side and there's a support side. The military's that way, right, Robert? Those of you veterans, there's an operations side. There's the Marines who land and take the beach, and then there's the support side waiting in ships, waiting out on that have all the food and have all the ammunition. They're waiting to come in behind them and set up with the hospitals and so on. See, there's an operations part and there's a support part, and this same thing here in the church. They're both equally important. Let me use the church as an illustration here. And again, I'm going to make a point that hopefully we can all grab a hold of and find our place in here in a minute. Let's talk about our worship, our music ministry here. We have these worship teams. This month happened to be Sherry and Dwayne and John and Donna. They're the ones you see. They're the worship. We call them the worship leaders. And we look at them. They're kind of that operations part. They're the ministry part that we see. But see, there's a support part that you don't see. You know who that is? That's the people back in that booth. Do you know what would happen if let's just say that a sickness came through, and if all four of our worship leaders, our singers, got sick and could not be here? We could actually still have pretty decent music, because the people back there could actually put music up on our screens and we could have some pretty decent music here. It would just be digital leaders. But do you realize what it would be like around here if there was nobody back there? There would be no microphones, so you couldn't hear, which would actually be a good thing, because they probably wouldn't know the words, because there would be no video, there would be no lyrics up on the screen. And you know what we'd be singing every week? If it weren't for the people back there putting lyrics up on the screen, we'd be singing the first verse of Amazing Grace and Happy Birthday every week. That's about all we'd have. Because that's all anybody knows. I mean, you see my point? Without them, without those people that you don't see, without the support people, without the business part, there is no ministry part. Do you follow me? Yeah. So we have to have both of these things. But here's where I wanted to bring you all in. But see, it doesn't stop there. It's not just them. Because you all are also a part of that. You're actually a part of both. You're a part of both. You're a part of the business part. Really, Joe? That is, come on. That's on you, Joe. Squirrel. What was I talking about? Business. You're all a part of the business part. You see, without you financially supporting them, they cannot provide microphones and technology to put this on. And without this kind of thing going on, they cannot lead you in worship. So it starts with you. You support them, they support them, they then lead you, and it's this wonderful, beautiful circle of business and ministry coming together. That's great. You're also part of the ministry part, because while they're leading from up here, do you know that Sherry, and I know I talk about Sherry a lot, but there's a lot to talk about. Good and bad. No. Sherry is actually a part of every single worship team we have here. Did you know that? You do know it. You just didn't know it. Here's how. She's a part of the platform worship team that she was on today, but she's a floor leader on every other worship team. Is she not? Yes? Robert, is she not? Cassie? Where's Cassie? Cassie will take any excuse to get out of a message. She is down there all the time. She was down there last week. She's down there this week. Yeah, I mean, she leads from the floor. And by the way, and you could do that too. Amen. You could do that too. Yes. They love that. The worship teams love it when you lead from the floor. When you are a part of the worship team from where you sit, from where you stand. You have no idea what it means to them when you are a part of that, when they're pouring their heart out trying to lead in worship and they see you engage with them. You have become a part of that. That's where business and ministry come together. You know, and again, both of those things are important. They're both important. So I've got to move on. They come together, and listen, business and worship, they come together also then when we have guests that come, or we have somebody that comes and they're looking for some measure of hope. Something brought them here today. And John, we're so glad you're here today. And John, I don't know what brought you here today, but we're sure glad you are. We have guests here almost every week. And many of you, in fact, everybody that's here, you came the first time as a guest. We always say, first time you're a guest, second time you're family, right? So here's what happens. Somebody comes in and they need a warm place to be. That's the business side, right? The business part of the church is we need to have a warm building. The ministry part is we need to have warm people.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
Warm building is business. Warm people is ministry.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And both of those have something to do with the experience that people have. And by the way, it's not just our guests. It's for everybody, right? See, Larry's experience here today is going to be a combination of the business part, the warm building. It's also going to be a part of the warmth of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
How warm the people are to him. How warm, and that's all of us. How business and ministry come together has everything to do with the experience that each one of us has when we come to church. And for guests, oftentimes that determines whether or not they come back. And the truth is, we live in a carnal world. Lost people are lost people. Look, we've got, you know what the word carnal means? Carnal is kind of a Bible. It's kind of a churchy word. Sorry about that. It's kind of a churchy word, but it's a good word. It means we're driven by our flesh. If we have carnal Christians, you know, who have to have a comfortable chair to sit on in order to come to church, have to have nice things to turn around, Harold. if we have carnal Christians, then it's pretty understandable why we have carnal lost people, right? Lost people need a comfortable chair to sit on, and nice people around, you know, and comfortable things and high quality things, not best. We don't have the best equipment and all that kind of thing around here, but we have good stuff. But it has to be decent, right? Because that's the world we live in. Technology is a part of our world. If we're going to reach a digital world, look, let me just give you an example of how business and ministry have to come together right now. Right now, we have a need to reach more people digitally. We cannot do it because we have a shortage on the business side. We have a shortage on the business side. In other words, we don't have the equipment to reach the people who we need to reach digitally. We're fine in here. Do you follow me?
Yes.
We need different equipment in order to be able to reach the world digitally. And we have had that need for over a year now. And what we're waiting for is for God's people to step up on the business side. We have the ministry side. So you see where the two come together that way. This is a good day to talk about this because this is our business meeting day. The business is important. What I'm saying to you is I have always downplayed the business side of the church thing, and I shouldn't do that. I'm wrong when I do that because it's as important as the parts that we see. Yes, it's important, but the parts that we don't see, the things that we can see that you do is important, but the things that we don't see that you do is just as important. And giving is a part of that. It's like in a restaurant. You like to go to a restaurant? Do you like to have a friendly concierge, hostess, host? You're not allowed to use that word anymore. Is that a word okay? Are you allowed to use that word? Look, I don't know what the right words are anymore. What's the word you're not allowed to use? Waitress. That's what you're not allowed to use anymore. Waiter, server, whatever. The person who greets you and tells you where to sit. Whatever. You like them to be friendly, yes?
Yes.
It's nice. And it's nice to have a friendly server. Server, right? Yes or no? Some of you are like, I don't care. I don't care if they're friendly. Yes, you do. So that's all that matters, right? Because those are the people you see. No, it kind of matters who the chef is. It kind of matters about the people you can't see in the back, right? But that chef probably isn't the one who's really making your meal. It's probably the sous chef and the line cooks and the prep cooks and all those. There are probably a whole bunch of people that have a lot to do with making your meal. Please get this. And it's the same thing in a church. Yes, I'm the one who sets the menu for Sunday, but I'm not the only one feeding the people who come in this room.
Amen. That's right, Pastor.
That's right. Everybody has a part in the meal. Everybody in this room, you all have a part in today's meal. How you treat each other and how you treat guests and how you treat our worship team and how our worship teams treat you and how Hirsch greets you in the back and how Mauricio greets you when you get to the top of the stairs. It's all a part of the experience that you and everybody else has. And it's all so very important. Hirsch, thank you for standing out in the cold. Doesn't matter how cold it is. Hirsch stands out in the cold to open the door every week.
Amen.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
He opened the door for you today, right?
Yes.
You didn't touch that doorknob. He opened that for you. Mauricio kissed you when you came in, didn't he?
No.
Oh, is that just me? I thought it was weird, but I thought he did it to everybody. Look, let me find a place to land here. Look, everything matters. You know, that means our, look, this is business meeting Sunday. I need to talk. This includes financially. So let me say a couple of things and I'll find a place to land this. Let me talk to you then about the finances. I don't have anything to do with our finances here, but it is very, very important. The business side of this is important. So let me give you some principles about that, or a principle about that. Look at Psalm 24:1. You tell me what it means. The earth is the Lord's. Do you agree with that? Yes or no?
Amen.
And the fullness thereof. What does that mean?
Everything.
It means everything, right? It's all of it. I mean, pretty clear, right? The fullness. It means everything in it. The earth and everything in it, everything on it, everything through it, the gold buried in it, everything sitting on top of it, everything sitting on the part that you live on, everything in your apartment, everything in your house, everything in your business, the world. That means the world systems, by the way. When it says the world there, there's a couple of words used for world. One is the earth, but it's not talking about that. It's talking about the world systems. That means the world's economy. What's the biggest economy in the world? Well, you're cowards. It's, come on, Joe, where are you? Who's got the world's biggest economy? It's God, that's who. America supposedly does. But yeah, you know what? Wrong. Because God owns that. It's God's. Everything is God's. Everything. Everything. So, everything sitting in my bank account is actually God's. Everything in my pocket is God's. Every potential earnings that I have is God's. Your retirement, your current earnings, it's all God's. Now, God is a very, very, God is a respecter of hard work. By the way, God is not a respecter of being lazy. God is not a respecter of being a welfare rat. Sorry, I shouldn't have probably used that expression, but it's the only one I know. God is a respecter of hard work. So God set up a really, really simple system. He said, listen, He said, it all belongs to me, but I'm going to give you a Bible word so that you understand what your role is in this. The Bible word is a steward. He said, I'm going to make you a steward of what is mine. What does the word steward mean? Well, we find it in Luke 12 and verse number 42. Here he asks a question. I'm going to kind of close around this question. A steward is somebody who recognizes that what he's in charge of belongs to somebody else. That's what a steward is, okay? So in other words, if I recognize that what I currently hold belongs to God, I'm a steward of that. I'm at least a faithful steward. He said, who then is a faithful steward? That's the question. Who's a faithful steward? I'll tell you who a faithful steward is. A faithful steward is somebody who says, God, this is yours. What would you like for me to do with it? And God is an amazingly generous and incredible God. The truth is, he doesn't really need us to do anything. He doesn't need us to do anything. He's pretty good on his own. He's pretty well set himself, okay? His retirement's pretty good, okay? I mean, you know, I don't know if he calls it a 401k or what he calls it, but he's okay. He's doing all right. He's not eating beans, okay? But he says, here's what I'd like for you to do. Actually, when he was talking to his people, chosen people, example people, the Jews, he said, here's what I'm commanding you to do. He then turns to those that he gives a choice to, which is us as stewards. He said, here's what I'd like for you to do. Same thing. He's telling us what he'd like for us to do. He told them what he required them to do. And he said, I'd like for you to take 90% of everything that I give to you, and you do as you think is wise to take care of your needs and be generous with and help out other people. And I'd like for you to take 10% of it as a minimum. And I'd like for you to put that right back into my work. Synagogue, church. That's pretty simple. You see, he didn't want it to be hard for us. He didn't want it to be hard for us. He said, so just make it simple. And if we would do that, the business would be cared for so that the ministry could be what Jesus wants it to be. You know, you liked so much of what I said up until 3 minutes ago. That's the truth. And it's pretty simple. But that's what he said. Look, I didn't say it. He said it. He said it. I can't imagine. I picture, let me say it this way, and I'm going to wrap this up, seriously. It's the business side that makes the ministry possible. Without the business, the ministry can't happen. It's that simple. Without the business side, the music ministry can't happen. It just can't. We can get by without singers. We can't get by without the people back here. You just can't. You know, you can have a one-day battle on a battlefield with soldiers who can fight, but you can't go beyond that without the support people behind them. Once they run out of bullets, they're not going to be very successful. Right? It's the same thing here. You know, we've seen this in the business world. You run out of chips, and guess what? Cars don't get made, do they, Tom? Everything stops. Everything stops. And this is what God is saying about his work. You know, we oh boy. Here's what I picture. Here's what I picture. I picture Jesus hanging on a cross knowing that his death was going to usher in the era of the church. He knew that. Hanging on a cross, I believe that in the midst of all the pain and in the midst of all the suffering, in the midst of the agony, I believe that Jesus still found some joy knowing that his plan for the church was such a good one. That he pictured a day when his followers would willingly, joyfully, excitedly pile into buildings together. Somebody would stand out front and greet them, open the door for them, and somebody would be up at the top of the stairs to greet them, and somebody would get them on an elevator that somebody worked other people worked very, very hard to get put into place and get them up to the level of the stairs, and somebody would drive a bus and pick them up. I just think Jesus could see all that happening. And he pictured the people in the back that would put in the hours during the week to get music ready, and people would put in the hours to practice music, and they would sing. And then he pictured some people that would pass around some plates, and his people would joyfully give so that more of that could happen week after week after week after week. I think he could see the joy that people would look and say, Jesus did so much for me. I cannot wait to get to church and put in my part. Do my part. I can't wait to be the one who greets somebody. I can't wait to make somebody's day. I can't wait to get in there and encourage somebody. I can't wait to be the one who says the right thing to the right person who's hurting the most, and they smile for the first time in a week. I can't wait to be the one who puts in my little bit of money into that plate because it's going to translate somehow into meeting a need that somebody has to pay an electric bill, or it's going to buy a microphone, or it's going to do something. It's going to fix a bus. It's going to do something. And it's my part. It's my part that I get to do with what belongs to God anyway. It's my opportunity to get into my church and be a faithful steward. Yes. That, I think, is what brought joy to Jesus in the midst of him hanging on a cross. The other side of that, though, is I can't imagine what it must feel like that now he watches while some of us don't care. Don't care. Somebody else will do it. Nobody else will do your part. So somebody will. No, they won't do your part. They might do their part and then more, but they will not do your part. They cannot do your part. They can't, because it's your part. It's your part. Well, I don't have a part. Oh. Yes, you do. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You will find where Paul talked about even those that think they're the most unimportant parts. He said, actually, those are the most important.